This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, I am Amanda Palmer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only lesbian and gay community radio station.
29 minutes to 8. Thank you very much, Amanda, for that wonderful introduction.
She lives in Fitzroy now.
What? Like, as in, like, Fitzroy? As in, like, I can probably see Fitzroy from this window.
Yeah, I actually know where her house is.
Amanda Palmer is, like, I love her.
Short time, but, yeah, she's writing a book here.
Really? Amanda Palmer, if you are listening, you may remember me from Heresy. I was that little goth kid that used to get his eyebrow ring stuck in his fishnet top. I love you still to this day. Like, I still remember you helping me get that my eye out.
Amanda Palmer, if you're listening, you'll remember me as that kid who was in the picnic in Campbelltown in Sydney, crying my eyes out into your boobs.
Her boobs,
when I'm talking about how much no one liked me. And I was a lot younger then, so...
That just broke my heart, Patrick.
Oh, well, you know, I went to a university which is pretty anti-queer. It's pretty anti-queer. Like, they had Bible groups but no queer group.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful university, which I will...
Do not want to party
with those students. I will say it rhymes with lame. And anyway, we have in the studio...
Yes, a true testament to wonderment. And
Wonder Woman. Well,
so
she is a Wonder Woman.
We do. We have Eleanor, who is proudly representing the T in our alphabet.
In our algebra. I think that's a thing now.
Algebra.
I've got the algebra. I think you've made algebra. Something. Yeah.
I've always wanted a way to say the acronym, and here we go. Algebra.
It's magnificent. So, this is Eleanor.
Hello.
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 Now, Eleanor, you identify as a woman.
Correct.
That's great. And you fall into the transgender communities.
Yeah.
So, when did you first... Let's go back to when you first started identifying as Eleanor.
Well, it was New Year's Eve last year.
Yeah.
It had a bit of a lead-up, I guess, because I spent a long time... I felt like I didn't really have a sense of self for a really long time while growing up. And I didn't really know.
That spins me out, because you have such a sense of self now. Like, as soon as you came into the studio today, you were, like, so super confident and just like, hello, I couldn't imagine you being...
It's...
Like, not the person that you are right now in front of me.
Yeah, it's a really long road, and it's really hard to get there sometimes. It's just... It's really hard to know who you are, really.
Mm.
And,
No, I just want to say, it doesn't get easier.
Sorry. I wouldn't disagree with that. But it's kind of... When you start really exploring yourself and you realize that maybe it's not everyone's the same, you know, and there are lots of different kinds of people that you can be, and that's okay. And that's really when you can start exploring your own sense of identity and really building that solid foundation.
Mm. And that's true what you said right there, building that solid foundation, because you do need to, I guess, be able to identify and be able to understand a few little key elements before you can become that, say, again, I keep trying to do this thing, it's not working, Patrick. Before you can be that crazy, sexy, cool individual strutting down the street, you need to be able to...
I think we need to come up with an acronym for that for you.
I just heard it in an Alpha Mama song, and I've just been saying it all weekend.
Yeah. Until you can finally establish, I suppose, your identity, or at least the beginnings of your identity. And what I'm curious to know was what sort of, before I suppose that you came out as trans, what sort of what support networks did you look at? Certain support networks? Was there anything that you were looking up? Was there any websites, any role models that you were looking at that maybe that you thought, hey, I think this is me. I think this is what I am, and this is awesome.
Well. At the start of last year, I met this wonderful trans woman by the name of Mara, and she was the first time I'd really been exposed to transgender people. And the more time I spent around her, I realized that we had a lot in common, but I didn't really think too much of it. I was like, it's really hard sometimes to decide to make that leap. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But she was great, and we got a really, we built a really strong friendship there. But then later on, I started really exploring my sexuality and my gender identity at the sort of at the same time, mm-hmm. and I sort of came out as bisexual to the world,
mm-hmm.
and yep. that was an interesting experience. But later on, I realized that I just got more and more uncomfortable with the idea of being male.
Yeah,
and I was like, I really don't want to be that person, and I hate it when I get, you know, called he or treated in other ways that you would, that, you know, society treats males. And I didn't know what to think of it, but I started talking to some of my friends who were part of the LGBT community, and that was when I started to realize that there's a whole world of gender to explore.
Yeah, and it's something that I think I, as someone who's a little bit older, 27, apparently, according to some people. I'm actually 22, but yes. Anyway, someone who's a bit older and who's come to that a lot later. Yeah. It's beautiful, isn't it? And I think it's coming a lot more in the mainstream media, is the understanding that gender is starting to become a lot more fluid.
Yeah.
And, well, fluid, but also the fact that it's not so much of a, I suppose, it's still a hurdle, but it's certainly something that is far more prevalent now that we, mm-hmm. and also when situations like people are mistaking trans people for drag queens, for example, which does happen, but that becomes far more in the public eye, that you will see mm-hmm. a backlash instead of earlier where people just go, oh, da, 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 and just pull it aside. I'm very, very happy that you found that, actually. I always find it amazing.
Look, I have a question, and I am going to bring it down a notch. It's going to get a little bit heavy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for that,
that's
Eleanor.
Okay.
But I'd like to ask yourself, have you ever experienced any, say, transphobia in your journey so far?
It's often, if you surround yourself with the right people and community, you can often avoid it to a large degree.
That's true.
But it's often comes in the form of little microaggressions by society. And a large part of that is if you go out on your own, trying to, you know, make a statement with your gender expression and you don't have anyone to fall back on, that's when it can really become overwhelming. Mm. Also, experiencing at work, so I work part-time. I'm not out at work. I still sort of go by my birth name and everything because it's just a difficult situation. And a lot of the time when you try to, you do something with your appearance and that can draw a lot of attention, and that can be really difficult to navigate, especially in that kind of professional environment where you don't really know where you stand.
I always found it really unusual. Sorry, Dylan. I always found it really unusual that it actually was anyone else's business. Sorry, right. I know I sound really, but I had the same, not the same thing. I had a very similar situation where people like want to know your own business and ask you questions about certain things. Yeah. And you kind of go, it's work. Why should I, like,
exactly.
Why is, like, the way that I dress or what I'm expressing my identity
exactly.
as relevant to your life?
That's very true.
Yeah. I'm not killing anyone. I don't think that you have any say in this. So, I don't know why I brought up killing people. Sorry.
Let's not kill people.
That'd be a final resort, or at least a second. Last. Okay, last. From the look on Patrick's face, definitely last.
Second last. but we are going to be talking also a little bit about a wonderful trans activist as well, which was, this was from last year, Amber Maxwell.
That's right. Who was a campaigner and advocate for not just marriage equality, but also for our LGBTI communities.
And every single letter in that one, especially.
Yeah. And she stood up for trans in doing so, in fighting the system that I guess she was so against, mm-hmm. the homophobia, the transphobia, the lack of visibility, she was actually beaten to death by a bunch of complete somethings that really that were transphobic. And unfortunately, the world, well, at least Australia wasn't, and its certain citizens weren't in step with the modern day. Trying to navigate this without coming across, because obviously I'm as a cisgender male, it's I can empathize, but it would be hard for me to imagine what it'd be like. And do things like this affect you, Eleanor, when you hear about these stories?
It's a case of, it's worrying. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's worrying to know that this has happened to people out there, and you always think, well, what if that happens to me one day? And it can make it really hard to want to go out and express yourself sometimes. But in the end, what you have to say to yourself is, well, this is the only way I can manage to live my life. Do you know what I mean? I just can't go about it any other way. And it definitely does affect you, though. It can make you really worried to be in certain public spaces sometimes, especially if you don't know it's going to be safe for you to be who you are. And that means sometimes you have to be really careful about the spaces you go to.
Where would be some spaces that you would say that you feel you're safest and you're most electric?
Well, the number one is Minus 18. I don't know if you guys know about that group, but it's...
Oh, yeah, we love it.
Passing Acquaintance.
Passing Acquaintance. No, yeah, I love the crew at Minus 18.
They are wonderful.
They're actually in this building.
Are they?
Yeah, they're down on the...
Just underneath us, to be honest.
I've been to an event here, actually, in the same building for Minus 18. And they're a wonderful group for LGBTI people under the age of 21. Anyone can come along. It doesn't matter if you identify as LGBTI or same-sex attracted. Exactly. Mm. You can come along anyway, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere. Everyone's on the ball. Everyone knows what they're doing.
And I think the wonderful thing about spaces like that is it does give you a chance to become educated about certain things. If you are ignorant about situations in the trans community, for example, I know as a cisgendered gay male for a long time, well, as a queer male, I now identify, but at the time, gay, I was at 2010, which is the Sydney version of Minus 18, and those kind of spaces are marvellous because you get to learn those things about separation between gender and sexuality.
Yes.
Yeah, which was fantastic. Absolutely. And something that is wonderful because now I'm like, oh my gosh, and I feel really like an awesome ally, and I feel really great to be part, like, friendly with the trans community, which is awesome.
And if you are repping the T and you're feeling a little bit isolated as a young, gorgeous trans person, make sure that you hit up Y Gender as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Be listening next week because we'll be having a chat to Lisa from Genderqueer Australia about some of their meet and greets.
Hooray.
Hooray. But hey, look, thank you so much for having a chat with us, Eleanor.
That's okay.
And we'll be back with
Thanks
more
for
generation.
Having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. We've got more Gen Next coming up right after this.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.